It really is something like that coming together. Because I remember when the movie was being made, you know, it was being talked about in local news and things like that. And you know, that's cool. There's not a lot that happens in East Idaho. So, you know,
yeah.
being intrigued. And then when the movie came out, I mean, I loved it. But there's a lot of this, you know, local connection here. I mean, the buses that they're driving up in are the Pocatello City buses that I rode around on in town. So to see it, you know, it was really cool to see that it wasn't just something that local people would have this crazy connection to. Watching it blow up on this national, international scale into this thing, I'm like, okay, this really is something amazingly special. It's not just me connecting with these little things and, you know, the look of the schools and, you know, knowing people just like this, because it definitely had a bit, you know, if you're from around here, there's so much in the writing and obviously in locations and things, but it was just magical how it came together. And I mean, I'm sure you guys didn't imagine while you were making it that 20 years later, you'd still be talking about it and doing these shows.
Oh, gosh, no. Absolutely not. I mean, as we say, we're the original fans. So when we're in with the crowd, we're saying, hey, look, we want to get something straight. We're no different than you. We are the original fans of this movie, because after we would shoot a scene, we would find ourselves all eating dinner together and we'd start saying, your mom goes to college or whatever, you know, like we would start quoting lines from the movie, and because we saw them acted in such a way that made us go, oh, that's so funny, you know. But interestingly enough, while we were shooting, we were never aware of ourselves or aware of the movie being funny in that kind of tongue-in-cheek way. You know how like a TV show will be really great and it'll just be fresh, and then all of a sudden it becomes like celebrated, and then it seems like everything it's doing, it's like winking at the crowd a little bit. It's like, that's what we're doing now, you know. Like it becomes too aware of itself. And we were not that aware of ourselves while shooting. We were playing, and I don't want to, you know, excuse the pun, but we were playing the stakes is what we were doing. We were playing the value of each moment in the sense that it was a life, and, you know, we played it for keeps. We played it for the stakes that the characters were having at that time, you know? And so sometimes funny things would happen and we wouldn't even realize they were funny until later. Until some crew members would like go blah, 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 and they'd start, you know, saying the lines, and all of a sudden it kind of, the light bulb would go on our heads, like, oh, that is pretty funny, you know, like we'd kind of almost miss it. But I think that's also part of the commitment of the actors in their character, in the circumstances, in those moments, that doesn't allow it to get corny or stupid, because it's, we're playing for keeps, you know.
I definitely can't wait to go hear more from, you know, the three of you together, John and Efren, Napoleon and Pedro.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be this Q&A. You're talking to the crowd, screening of the movie, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. It's fully interactive. I mean, we bring them, some of them on the stage. We have trivia questions. We do all kinds of stuff. We mix in the crowd. You know, we're not sitting up on the stage and, you know, in our golden throne. You know, we're in it. We're in it with them. And it's a lot of fun. And it makes us equally as happy when we see people just really enjoy themselves. And lastly, I just wanted to say, speaking of Pocatello and speaking of, you know, Preston, you know, John would say, hey, one out of every four people hired in this movie are the people that they were supposed to be playing. Like Lyle the Farmer is Lyle the Farmer.
Yeah. You know?
They just said, well, let's just get him and have him play his part. And in fact, the script was so beautifully written, of all the lines that are improv in this whole movie, he's most of all.
Yeah, I got to meet him a bunch of times. You know, we'd be working at the fair and the radio booth, and I think he really loved, you know, the little bit of celebrity he got out of it. And he was always so great to everybody, because he'd show up at the fair and everybody wanted a selfie with him. Everybody wanted to say hi. And, you know, it was real sad when he passed away a few years ago.
I know.
He was always great. So, I mean, I've got a lot of selfies with him. And yeah, you know, it's just so cool that you guys are coming to Idaho Falls to do this event and celebration. You know, it's a movie that never gets old to me. And I'm really looking forward to it, man. And congrats on everything else that's been going great for you. I'm excited for the music. And I loved you in White Lotus, man. When I was watching White Lotus, I'm like, where have I seen that guy? It was driving
me
crazy.
Who's that bald guy with gray hair?
I'm like, I know that I've seen this guy in something that I've watched a million times. So I get out, you know, Google, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And, you know, White Lotus, it was great. I've encouraged so many people to watch that. What a wild show. Both seasons. I love how they threw it together. And I mean, your character in it was great. I don't want to spoil anything. On it, because I'd like to ask you questions about more White Lotus, but
anytime you want to do an interview about White Lotus, I'm happy to do it. And I will say that you know, a little tidbit that kind of ties it together, because obviously, you know, Mike White has worked with Jared Hess. I mean, they did Nacho Libre together.
Yeah,
they've done the Gentleman Broncos together. In fact, Jennifer Coolidge was in the Gentleman Broncos, which is really kind of an unheralded great film. And I actually had been offered a job in Gentleman Broncos, but I couldn't do it at the time. I was shooting a lovely show on Adult Swim called Dream Corp LLC, which is such a good show, and sad that it's not, we're not making it anymore. Oh. But I will say that I didn't know Mike White. And so I had COVID. I was here. I had the original OG COVID before there was a shot. I, all of a sudden, my manager calls and says, you got to read for this thing called The White Lotus. And I was like, all right, you know. Somebody came over and we read in the backyard. He was like 50 feet away from me, because back then everybody was scared to death to get within, you know, 100 yards of anybody who was sick. And we did the reading, and lo and behold, I got the job. And when I got the job, you know who told me I got the job before anybody else? Jared Hess.
Really?
Jared Hess texted me, and he goes, Mike White just wrote to me and said, we've hired Uncle Rico. So he was like, congratulations, you're going to be in White Lotus, you know? And of course, at that time, HBO just needed content. I don't think they thought it was going to turn into the phenomenon that it's turned into. But I will say, it's probably some of the best writing I've ever read in television, movies, any theater. It's so well written. He's so good. Mike White, so talented.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could not predict with either season at any moment what's going on. And, you know, right out of the gate, the beginning of season two, you're like, okay, how does this happen? And no way you could figure it out as you go along. It's just such a good show. So I'm so excited for more of that. And yeah, man, huge fan. You know, I'm real glad we got to chat today and get to know you.
Such a pleasure.
As I was looking through your stuff, I didn't even realize this. I mean, looking back to one of my favorite movies when I was a kid, another one that I've seen a million times since I was just in elementary school, you were the Wolfman in the Monster Squad. I watched that every Halloween, and I had no idea.
I was actually the desperate man. The guy who played the actual wolf was different than me. He was much bigger, big stunt guy, so I wasn't the actual wolf. I was just the guy who would turn in. I was like the Lon Chaney character who would turn into the wolf.
Okay. Well,
the actual wolf guy was a stuntman who was like 6'4", and, you know, he was huge. You know, he was a big dude. Yeah.
Well, you on the phone is who I remember. So.
Well, yeah, exactly. Lock me up.
Yeah. I mean, me and my brother and sister, man, I don't know how many times I've seen that movie. So that was just a cool little thing I spotted when I was, you know, just doing a little looking around before I chatted with you. So everybody listening, get out to the event going down at the Colonial Theater on the 18th. You can get tickets at idahofallsarts.org. There's still some of the regular tickets left. You get to see the movie on the big screen, which is a lot of fun. You know, a lot of people may not have seen it on the big screen. And then, yeah.
Oh, it's a different experience. It's such a different experience. It's so good. It's so good with the crowd on the big screen. Oh, it's so fun.
Oh, yeah, and the Colonial's amazing. Plus, you've got Napoleon Pedro and Uncle Rico right here that are going to be in the house. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, man. Right with you.